The heart of Pentecostal Christianity is the four square gospel. He is Lord. He is our Saviour. He's the reason why we meet together today. And we're going to focus on the truth that Jesus is our healer. We live in a world that is broken. We live in a world that is crying out for wholeness. And while we live in an age of extraordinary medical advancement, there's still unprecedented brokenness in the world. I remember when COVID first happened, everything was unprecedented, wasn't it? Today we've got more doctors, more diagnoses, more prescriptions, more information than ever before. But at the heart of the world, there is this ache of sickness. There's a weight of trauma. There's a pain, it seems, in people's souls. The fear of death does press in on us every single day. When you think about it, there's physical illness, there's emotional wounds, there's mental exhaustion. And in the modern world, there seems to be a spiritual deadness in many generations. Generation Z seems to be seeking after truth, authentic truth. Over the last year, apparently there has been more Bibles sold to people aged 16 to 35 than ever before. The world is looking for something. People are looking for something, and they're not sure what it is. But the truth is, they need Jesus. And we, as his disciples, we, as his followers, we can share the truth of who Jesus is to this lost and broken world. The question of discipleship, it's not simply, do I believe that Jesus can forgive my sins? The question is also, will I follow him? Will I follow him as my healer? Will I allow him to heal my whole life? Today we're going to proclaim the unchanging truth that Jesus is healer, that he is the wounded servant who makes us whole. Jesus isn't just a concept. It's not just a slogan. The living Christ, the living Saviour, the one who was crucified, the one who reigns, the one who continues to heal in the 21st century. That is who we proclaim. We know he loves us. We know he heals us. We know that he is Lord in every circumstance and every situation. Whatever we may face, our Lord is with us. And that should give us great comfort. It should give us great peace. It should give us a motivation to share the truth of who he is with others. Isaiah 53 verse 4 says this, "Yet it was our weaknesses he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins." Isaiah 53 was written roughly 700 years before Jesus was born. It describes the suffering servant, a figure, a person rejected, crushed, wounded, and yet still victorious through that suffering. Israel, they expected a conquering king to come, but what God sent was the suffering servant. Isaiah 53 stands at the very heart of redemptive history. It reveals that heaven sends healing, that healing flows from the atonement that we have in Christ. The cross, it's not merely where sins are forgiven, it's where we as broken humanity are restored to relationship with God. The Hebrew word that's translated as weaknesses literally means sickness, disease, or infirmity. And sorrows, makob, that word means pain, anguish, grief. And it can refer to all of those things, either physically or emotionally. Now, Isaiah, when he speaks here, he's not speaking metaphor. He is speaking holistically. Jesus, the Messiah, carried it all for us. All of our pain, all of our suffering, all of our punishment, he took that on himself. For us, as we follow Jesus, it means that we are not just trusting him with our todays. We're not just trusting him with the burdens that we have right now. But we are trusting him for eternity. Yes, he cares about today's pain. Yes, he cares about what we're going through right now. But he's also preparing us to spend an eternity with him. Perfect glorified bodies. No tears, no pain, no suffering. It's an incredible, incredible thought that God, our Lord, is preparing a place for us right now. He cares about the pain that we suffer today, but the cross declares to each and every one of us that our sicknesses are not ignored, our suffering is not invisible to God, and the wounds that we have are not meaningless. God cares about the detail of our lives. Author and preacher R.T. Kendall said, "The cross is where God took our worst and gave us his best." At Calvary, Jesus exchanged our sickness for his wholeness. He exchanged our guilt for his righteousness, our death for his life. Healing begins where surrender meets the cross. Spiritual healing truly begins when we know Jesus as our Lord and our God. First point, Jesus heals because he carries our brokenness. Psalm 103, verse 3, "He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases." Now, Psalm 103, it's a song of personal testimony. King David praises God, not just for abstract doctrine. He praises him because he has a living experience of who God is and what God does. David knows that forgiveness and healing, they are presented as gifts of God's grace. They're not something that we earn. They're not something that we deserve. There is something that we receive. God's grace is poured out on each and every one of us. Now, modern culture separates body and soul, but Scripture never does. Scripture considers the whole being, the whole person as one. And we as disciples of Jesus, we must learn that we need to bring everything to him. All of our burdens, all of our sin, all of our guilt, all of our shame. We bring to him our guilt, we bring to him our fatigue, and he cares for us. Cast all your cares upon him, he cares about you. Many of us know that to be true. Perhaps all of us know that to be true. We've experienced those dark times, we've experienced difficulties. There have been days when we just feel like we can't carry on. And that's when God lifts us, surrounds us with his love, with his mercy, and gives us the strength to carry on. His strength, not our own. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We can take our burdens to our Lord. Imagine for a moment, does anyone go hiking? Has anyone ever been hiking with a big backpack? I've never been hiking. I've never had kind of the body or the stamina to go off on endless walks. But my understanding is that when you pack your backpack, you fill it with things that are essential, things that you might need on your journey. And that when you pack your backpack, that you don't fill it full of stones. You've got a water bottle. Maybe you've got mosquito cream. Maybe you've got sun cream, yeah. Maybe you've got a hat. There's things that are necessary, aren't there? But you don't take 5 or 6 bricks with you just on the off chance you might need to help someone repair a wall. But if you were hiking with a backpack that's so heavy, I would imagine that every step can be a problem. That if you're carrying a heavy load, that each footstep starts to wear you down. Now, maybe you wouldn't notice if you carried a single brick in your pack, but the more stones, the more weight that's added on, the more likely you are to be crushed on your journey. Our Lord carries our burden. Our Lord carries the weight of our sin at the cross. And Jesus doesn't come to us and say, "You need to try harder." He says, "Give it to me." He carries our burdens. He carries our heavy load. He enables us to continue on. And really for us in the 21st century, true spiritual healing begins when we stop carrying what Christ has already dealt with. At the cross, he paid the price for our sins. He has taken our burden from us. And yet many of us cling on, hold on, and continue to carry something that we shouldn't be carrying. Max Lucado said this, God loves you just the way you are, but he refuses to leave you that way. God is in the process of changing us, transforming us, bringing us closer to him, helping us to love him more, to actually be the people that he's called us to be. Now, healing is not God tolerating brokenness. It's God transforming us, transforming us from the inside out. We're called to have a transformed and renewed mind. We're called to love our God. We're called to trust him. And the closer that we grow to him, the more that we trust him, the more we'll learn not to try and carry the burden that Christ has already dealt with. Second point, Jesus heals with compassion, not detachment. Matthew 9:35. Jesus travelled through all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. Matthew 9 is a sweeping summary of Jesus' ministry in Galilee. And there was a rhythm to what he did. He taught, he preached, and he healed. He helped to shape minds with the truth about God. He called hearts to repentance, but he also restored bodies and he restored lives. His pattern of ministry wasn't accidental. Healing is not a sideshow to the gospel. It's a sign of the kingdom. It's the sign of God at work. When you think about it, in a kingdom where a king or queen reigns, sometimes, well, actually quite often, there's a restoration that follows. There's a change that takes place. And Jesus doesn't just announce that the kingdom is here. He demonstrates that he is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the healer of all. Healing reveals what God's reign looks like in our lives. Our Lord, he stepped into a broken and fallen world to bring change, to bring transformation, to bring salvation, to set the captive free, to heal us and make us whole. The Greek word that's used here for healed is therapeuo. We get the word therapy in modern English from that. It means to serve, it means to care for, it means to restore. Healing is something that's personal, attentive, compassionate. Jesus is not clinical. He's not a clinical healer. He is a present healer. He steps in. He makes change. He brings wholeness into our lives. And for us, following Jesus means learning that he's compassionate, means learning to trust him, means giving our lives to him. We live in a culture, perhaps, that's marked by suffering. You look at all the things that's happening in the world today, and we can be overwhelmed by bad news. Or we can do what Jesus has called us to do. We can pray boldly. We can love others in a practical way. We can believe expectantly, knowing that God is able to change every circumstance and situation. And the truth is, we may find a circumstance where we pray, and for whatever reason, God doesn't heal. But we need to trust him that he knows what's right. I don't know about you, but I know that God's brain is bigger than mine. And some of you are probably thinking that's not hard. But it is. He knows everything. He knows the end from the beginning and everything in between. There is never, ever going to be a circumstance where God says, I didn't expect that. There's never going to be a circumstance or situation where God says, I don't know what to do. He is almighty. He is all-powerful. He is all-knowing. And he knows what's best for us. Tim Keller said this, Jesus didn't come to make people nice. He came to make people new. To be born again, to be changed, to be transformed. That's what Jesus came for. Now, maybe you like to try to be a nice person, but it's not about how nice we can be. It's all about how loving our God is. And healing, it's not just a cosmetic improvement. Healing comes from resurrection power at work in people's lives. Jesus doesn't just manage symptoms. He restores, he heals, he makes new. Third point, Jesus heals because he is moved by compassion. Matthew 14:14. Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. This moment, it occurs after the death of John the Baptist, and Jesus is grieving. He's withdrawn to be alone. Yet when he sees this crowd, he doesn't turn them away. Compassion interrupts his sorrow. I often wonder, the God of all creation, the shortest verse of the Bible says Jesus wept. He had compassion. He was moved. He had feelings just like you or I. He has experienced loss, suffering, the same way that we have. And the Greek word that's used here for compassion, it literally means to be moved in the gut. It's a visceral, emotional reaction. We might describe it in the modern world as deep compassion. He was truly moved by what he saw. And Jesus doesn't heal out of obligation. He heals because his heart is moved with compassion, as we should be compassionate to others. Perhaps in the modern world, some people just feel like numbers, data points, or burdens. But Jesus sees each of us as individuals. Jesus feels deeply about each and every one of us. And Jesus responds with love to all of us. As disciples, we're meant to trust him. We're meant to know that our pain matters to him. We're meant to wait, to be still, to be patient, and just to trust that he is the one who's in control. Just think about the NHS for a moment. In my mind, there's kind of like two types of doctor. You get the general practitioner that knows quite a bit, but then you also get the specialists. Specialists perhaps who work, say, in an A&E department. There's a difference between a doctor who looks at a chart and makes a decision based on what he sees on a chart, and a doctor who actually spends time talking to the patient to discover what the symptoms are, what's happening, what's going on. You can make a diagnosis based on data, or you can make a diagnosis based on discussion. And when you think about the way that Jesus healed people, he didn't just do it in a broad stroke for an entire crowd. He treated individuals. He knew what the hearts of each person was. And we are not just another case file for Jesus. We are beloved. We are cared for. He pours out his compassion, his grace, and his mercy on us as individuals. He loves us and cares for us. And that's why he's our healer. But as Charles Stanley said, God does not heal to make us comfortable, but to make us useful. Healing, it draws us, or it should draw us, into a deeper obedience. Restored lives are meant to reflect God's glory. We're meant to serve his purpose. God is able to heal. But if you think about the story of the lepers that came to Jesus for healing, many were healed, but only one came back to him after they were healed. It's like the others had just gone off and carried on with their lives and ignored the fact that they'd met the Saviour, ignored the fact that they had been healed. But there was one who was willing to come back. When God heals us, when he touches our lives, when he changes and transforms us, we are meant to return to him and not run in the opposite direction. Jesus is meant to be central to all that we do, to all that we say. Fourth point, Jesus heals as the promised Messiah. Matthew 11:5. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised to life, and the good news is preached to the poor. Now, John the Baptist, he was imprisoned, he was discouraged, and he asks if Jesus is really the Messiah. Jesus doesn't argue, he points to the evidence. The healing that took place authenticated Jesus' identity. There's an Old Testament fulfillment here. This really echoes Isaiah 35 and Isaiah 61. There are clear messianic promises there. Jesus is declaring, I am the one that God promised. Faith perhaps wrestles with doubt at times. When we go through suffering, we ask the question, does God really care? He does. He sustains us. He blesses us. He empowers us. He enables us to continue to stand when it feels like the world is pressing in. But Jesus, he invites us to look not just at our circumstances, but to look at who he is. To remind ourselves of how he is faithful. To remind ourselves of the truth of his word. To trust him and not the circumstance. John Piper said this, God is always doing 10,000 things in your life, and you may be aware of three of them. I think about today. You all got here to church safely, didn't you? No one had an accident on the way here. God was keeping you safe. You all got out of bed this morning. God gave you breath today. When you go home, I'm sure there's something in your cupboard or your fridge. God has provided for you to eat. There is so much that God does that we just ignore. And maybe at times we're not even thankful. Maybe at times we don't even think what he is doing. But he's the God of detail. He's the God of order. When we pray for healing, it could be immediate. It could be progressive. Or it could be something that's eternal. But God is always at work for his good, for his glory. And yes, he cares about each and every one of us. Fifth point, Jesus heals through the gospel. Luke 4:4. But Jesus told him, no, the scriptures say people do not live by bread alone. In context, Jesus is resisting Satan by anchoring himself in God's word. We have to understand that healing is not magic. It flows from truth. It flows from trust. It flows from obedience. And the greatest healing that we could ever receive is spiritual. Being made whole in Christ. Being restored to relationship with our Father. Being able to know that we are forgiven and that he loves us. Let me give you a gospel presentation. The cross, the tomb, and the throne. Jesus Christ, he's the healer. He went to the cross. He died for our sins. He was buried in a borrowed tomb, but he rose again in victory. Sin brought sickness and death into this world, and Jesus came to destroy both sickness and death. For us, the ultimate healing is salvation, the healing of our relationship with God, the restoration of relationship, the promise of eternal life. The truth is that as human beings, there may be times in our lives when we are healed, but ultimately we will still die. But if we're saved, we will live forever. Forever with our Lord, forever with our God, forever with our Saviour, to be in his presence. Friends, let me remind you, the gospel is not good advice, it's good news. The truth that salvation is only found in Jesus. There is no other way. There is no other truth. There is no other life. There is no one else for us to trust in except Jesus. So how do we respond? We need to bring our whole life to Jesus. We need to pray boldly that God will move, that God will heal. We need to trust God's timing and his wisdom. We need to walk in obedience and faith. Today, Jesus invites us to draw near to him. Today, Jesus invites us to come to him with our burdens, with our cares, and to trust him to make us whole. But maybe we need to repent of something that's in our lives that is actually drawing us away from God rather than bringing us closer to him. Maybe today we need to believe a little bit more. Maybe we need to trust in Jesus more than we do. He is our provider. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. There is no one that we should trust more than him. And maybe today we need to confess once again that he is Lord, that he's my Lord, that he's my Saviour, that he's my King. Jesus is not just our healer. He is our Saviour. And the promise is if we call on his name, he will forgive our sins. He will restore our soul. He will give us eternal life. But we need to trust in him. In every circumstance, in every situation, every moment of every day, we must trust him. My final encouragement, church, is follow Jesus. Follow him. Whether he heals you or not, Follow him, trust him, love him. Jesus is Saviour, he is Healer, he is Baptiser in the Holy Spirit, and he is the coming King. We must follow him, trust him, and live restored, knowing that we've been forgiven, knowing that he has paid the price for us. May the Lord who heals your soul, may he bring healing and wholeness to your body. May he fill you with faith, may he fill you with peace. May your hope, the certain hope, grow as you continue to trust him. Walk with Jesus. He is the great physician. He is the great healer. He is the one who moves with love and compassion. Trust him. Know him. Believe in him and him alone. Amen.